The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Welcome back to the Anton Savage Show. Sean Defoe filling in for this Sunday morning. Now, Emma Kerwin, the actor and writer behind 2017's powerful spoken word video Heartbreak and the 2014 stage play Dublin Old School, joins me now ahead of his run of Accents at the Ambassador Theatre in Dublin on January 16th, 17th and 18th. Emma, happy Christmas to you and welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
So, Accents. Our actual accents. You seem to have done a deep dive into them, like where they come from, how they change. What kind of stood out to you? What struck you?
About the accents themselves
you didn't know.
I think, well, one of the funny things is what happens to our accents when we're talking to people. So myself and yourself are having a conversation now, and there's a thing called accommodation. So if you like somebody, your accent kind of modulates towards their accent and their sound.
Okay.
And it's a way of communicating to that person that you're not a threat.
Right.
And that you want to get on with them. And we all do this. And actually what happens if there's a dislike of the person, your accent becomes more entrenched and their accent becomes more entrenched. So you actually fall back on what your accent is when you comes out of your mouth when you're angry. Or how you would sound if you're with your family or the school group you went with, the people you went to school with, you know?
So that's your pure accent.
That's kind of what, yeah. So your pure accent is what comes out when you're incredibly angry.
God, I'm trying to think now what I sound like when I'm very angry.
But if you're with school friends, like secondary school friends, and you will slip into an accent when you go home, maybe at Christmas, Christmas Eve or whatever, that's your actual. That's real talk, as they'd say in the R&B world. You know?
And so when we the phone voice, then is that kind of like us modulating to appear more friendly?
Yeah, it's a fear, and it's well founded that when you interface with any kind of state apparatus or any kind of official apparatus, you want to be taken seriously, and you want to be communicate all your problems to. And you want them to do, you know, so when you're talking to somebody, you're also speaking clearly because you want to be understood. Mm. But then there is another thing that happens in business environments or college environments where people feel pressure. Now, there may not be some sort of implicit, you know, edict that's come down from on high telling them you need to speak in a particular way. If you work in this company, you go to this college. But there's a kind of tacit understanding that if you don't start to speak the way everyone else in the office does or everyone else in the college does, you will be excluded. So accent is used as something that can exclude and include people as well.
So when you go home, having been at college for a semester, and everyone says, God, you've changed, you're fierce Dublin.
I used the word malice when I was 19 in Talla, and someone said, you've changed, shut up, what are you talking about? With stupid words like that. I said something like, I don't think there's any malice in them. They were like, malice what? Malice in chains, you know?
So does your Talla accent get softer when you're not in Talla?
Kind of a cool Talla accent is kind of a little bit more up here. It's a little bit more nasal, you know. So like I find myself going, no way. You know, he's stretching those vowel sounds when I go back to Talla.
Yeah.
But I think, like even now, I have my accent, but I'm speaking slower so I can be understood. Whereas if I'm in Talla, I will speak probably about 500 miles a minute.
And only people in Talla will understand you.
Only people in Talla can understand you. It's kind of like our... You know, birds in a forest calling to each other, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I know when I go back to Waterford now in a couple of days. And I don't.
Waterford?
I was going to ask you now to place my accent.
Yeah, I couldn't.
No.
And actually, I've worked with an actor before, and I remember him giving me the real, what he thought was, Waterford, you know, accent.
Yeah, Waterford boy.
Yeah. And I wouldn't have known it. I do know it now, though, from the guys that do Waterford Whispers and the session heads, is that?
They've made it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good way to put it.
Yeah, yeah.
They've made it pop, made it cool to have a Waterford accent.
That's
now.
It, yeah.
But it's a weird one, because so my accent, I was born in the UK, and then,
right.
So I had a proper posh boy little British accent.
When
you
did
know,
you move here?
When I was 8.
Oh, right, that's
and
interesting.
Then, yeah, and then, yeah. But never picked up a Waterford accent.
Right. What would you say your accent is now?
I don't know. Is it just an Irish one? Is it just a... No, people think I'm a Dub more than off.
With what they would say in dialect coaching, they'd say you have... And this is what's said to Americans, you're doing a County Ireland accent.
A County Ireland accent.
Which literally means anywhere outside the pale. Right. But it's... But in... Not definable.
Yeah.
You know, this is from here, this is from here. So a lot of the time in theatre, you will see people doing if they can't do a specific Brian Friel, Donegal accent, they'll do a County Ireland accent.
Right.
So when you see American actors doing Irish plays, that's the accent. And you've, I couldn't pick where yours is from.
That's interesting, having like studied it.
Yeah, because
a lot of people say the same, where they think of a dub, or they think whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not.
And that's what happens. People place upon you, they make, you know, they place upon you a narrative based on how you sound. So you imagine how a person sounds. So that's going to.
Yeah, 100%. And then I think you see it in broadcasting as well, don't you? You see people modulate their accent.
Totally. Well, and that's its own little micro ecosystem. So they pronounce words in a particular way. So in Ireland, broadcasters, especially news broadcasters, say issues. And now they're starting to just kind of get the blend it all together and go issues. I was mad. I don't know. But it is. It's a particular way of talking. You know, is it Brian Dobson is on RTE?
Yeah.
I love his accent. But the way he phrases everything is, this guy behind me, you know. And I'm positive that he doesn't talk like that in real life, but I love his accent. I think it's very, it's not funny. I just think it's his way of phrasing things especially when he was working in America.
Yeah.
You know, he's pointing at the White House, this place behind, you know,
There's ones that are great. Like, I love Brian O'Donovan on the RTE.
Yeah.
But because he talks like that.
Yeah.
So
he does actually talk like that.
So he does his, you know, Brian O'Donovan RTE. And then I'm meeting you for a pint. You know, it's exactly the same.
That's interesting. Because when you're on a plane, there's a specific way that the safety announcement is made.
Mm.
Please go to the back. You know, it's a strange inflection, intonation that they've adopted that exists only really in that world of airlines, if that makes sense. You know?
And you kind of try to replicate it, because when I would first try to be a newsreader, and you go in your first time and I'm speaking to Emmett, and this is the news.
This is how you do it. Because you think there's a way of doing it. And then all BBC did it, you know, they had a very specific way of talking when they started. You had to be from the home counties, you had to be public school boys, and that didn't change. Now, I don't know if RTE's ever done that, but I doubt it. But there's definitely a way that radio is done here. A lot of 80s DJs they had a kind of American thing, you know? Welcome back, you know? You're here on 2FM.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was strange, kind of weird, kind of almost Dutch DJ, you know, kind of like crazy, you know? It's like, wow, you know?
Yeah.
When they were on 2FM stuff.
Kind of brought in from the pirate radio, wasn't it? Luxembourg and just imported it.
Yeah. So they were listening to that when they were younger, and then they went on television.
Yeah.
So all these things influence accents. And
do accents change over time? Like, say, even the Tala accent, would that have changed to what a Tala accent 100 years ago would have been? Obviously, Tala would have been way different 100 years ago, but, you know, like, not
country
in the
village.
Countryside. Like, but
I don't know if it's changed that much in the 30 or 40 years, but it's definitely changed from the people that would have moved to Tala in the 1970s would have primarily, and the play is about that, is about, you know, how accents change and how families move from one place to the next. And definitely in the 1960s and 70s, when people would have moved there, they would have been coming from maybe Crumlin and Ballyferm and the inner city specifically, or Rathfarnham, wherever those inner city communities were moved out to in the 50s, 60s. And then it changed. So the inner city kind of South Dublin accent might be a little bit more guttural, a little more lower, you know, it's all right. And then the Tala accent's a little bit more, it's higher pitched, you know, but it's definitely changed. Yeah. It's a mix of influence of different from people from all over the place, you know, that moved to Tala.
Mm. It's really interesting. I wonder where accents are going in the next 20 years with the new Irish and with like how diverse the Irish population is now.
So what happened, like it's brilliant, because that's one of the things the play touches on as well, that accent is about, you know, it's a good thing. It's a signifier of heritage, where you're from, your family, your community. And definitely you have young people that have Irish and their heritage might be African or it might be Polish, so they have an accent that they have at home and then the accent that they have when they move into the world, and they have to sometimes they have to code switch, you know, and mix and change up their accents. But it's a lovely accent, you know, you can hear it, the influence of it when they speak is really great, you know.
So tell us a bit more about the play itself and how it's formatted, and obviously this is a comeback for it.
Yeah, it was on, we did it in excuse me, we did it in 2022, myself and Owen French, who was the artist. He performed as the musical project Talos. We made the show together. He made the score. Owen unfortunately passed away this year. But so I met Owen and we came together to kind of make a play that we thought might be quite beautiful about accents. And that was the remit, you know, something that was lyrical and lovely. And then I had a son in between kind of when we first started collaborating on it. Our collaboration had been slowed down because of COVID. So when we came back and actually sat down to do it, it became about more about family and the new families that we're making. And I had a boy at the time. The COVID restrictions were ending to a degree. So the play is set 12 hours before the birth of my son. And being in Hollow Street and kind of outside with all these new dads, all these different sounds, all these different accents. So there's a poem about that. And then moving, my grandparents and my mother lived on Leeson Street. They lived on Ormond Quay. So all that kind of area of Dublin. So it's kind of 8 poems, soundtrack to Owen's beautiful score. Some about a love letter to my wife, love letter to my son. I interviewed my mother and all my aunties to kind of get that family history and about how many family histories essentially are recorded, but in Ireland we tend to kind of let them go because there was a time. What happened there? I don't know. So I really wanted to make something that was kind of extant record of our family, but done through spoken word poetry and music. And then it's also about the social history of Tala. There's a poem where I go back out to Tala and kind of chat to my parents about what's happening or what happened and how that place sprung up and how the housing crisis essentially has delayed people's lives and delayed and makes communities very hard to form because so many young people between the ages of 18, and I say young, but people into their 40s now, because renting communities are transient, and how my grandparents and parents' generation might not have had a lot of luxuries, but had wealth in the sense that they had a house. Mm. And the communities that they could form and the bonds that they could form are kind of becoming shredded. So that's a broad reach of it. But it's funny. And there's lots of beautiful music, and there's lots of and the band Ben Bix and Brian Dillon, who were in the band Melty Brains, and they're also in Owen's band Talos. They support they're doing music for this show live, and Owen's beautiful scores like techno, piano, and beautiful singing from the guys.
And it's in the newly opened Ambassador in January, and then you're taking on tour.
We're taking it on tour. We are going to Tala, my hometown, and I'm sure they're going to do some sort of big, you know, welcome home kind of parade kind of thing.
Naturally.
Big key given out to the city. Then we're going to go on. So we're going to Tala. I'll bring up the dates here now. We are going to the Ambassador, 16th, 17th, 18th of January, the Civic, 31st, 1st of February. We're going to Mermaid Arts Centre in Bray or Braystones, 5, 6, 7 of February, because I'm a Wicklow man now. We're in the Bell Table in Limerick, 13th to 14th of February. The Everyman in Cork for a brilliant, will be a hopefully beautiful kind of homecoming show for Owen's music, because he was a proud Cork man, the 18th and the 19th of February.
Great.
And
we're just fresh out of time, so we're going to have to, the rest of them people can get online, but that is excellent.
And Emma Kerr on Instagram.
Emma Kerwin, thanks so much for joining us.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.